Good morning, everyone, and happy Halloween. Almost doesn't feel like Halloween in here. So my name is Allison Teitelbaum, and I work for a consulting group called the Cadmus Group, and we're located in Arlington, Virginia, just outside of D.C. And today I'm going to be talking about engaging non-public health audiences to communicate your public health messages. And specifically in the work that I do, I support EPA and a couple of their programs for the Indoor Environments Division. And so I'll be talking about two programs not as much detail as some of the other presentations we've already heard, so that I can get through both, but I'll be talking about two in which we've needed to engage non-public health audiences to get our work done. I have nothing to disclose. So, public health communications paths. In an ideal world, it would be you'd be saying your messages and delivering them directly to your target audiences, and then your target audiences would say, oh, you're exactly right, and I'm immediately going to change my behavior and start doing the right thing, right? However, we know that's not really how people work, and a lot of times we're not even talking to the target audiences that we're trying to reach. Instead, we might be going through an intermediate audience, and that intermediate audience may know public health, understand it, and understand why the messages that we are telling them are really important, and sometimes they're non-public health audiences. And not only are you going to need to educate them about what it is that you're doing and the message you're trying to give them, but you're really going to have to work on gaining buy-in and in order to get them to then perpetuate your message. It's a different way of thinking sometimes. You know, a lot of times as communicators, we're focused on our target audience, and we forget, you know what, maybe our intermediate audience needs to also be a target audience. So, like I said, in supporting EPA's Indoor Environments Division, there are two programs in which we've needed to do this. The first is EPA's Indoor Environments, Healthy Indoor Environments for Schools, in particular Tools for Schools program, and the second is EPA's Indoor Air Plus program. So I'll be talking about both of those and how we engage non-public health audiences. So first is EPA's Creating Healthy School Indoor Environments Initiative. And so as a part of that, they have something called the Indoor Air Quality Tools for Schools Guidance Program. And what it is, it's a guidance program that's designed to get schools to make sure that the environments that they have there are healthy indoor environments. We know that poor indoor air quality affects student academic achievement, and it also increases absenteeism, not only for students but also for staff. And it also can end up leading to long-term health problems like asthma. So it's really important to make sure that the spaces that our students, our children are learning in are really healthy. So our target audience for this program was the school community. And the school community, I mean entirely. So you've got school officials, facilities and maintenance staff, teachers, and then as well as parents and students. Because it really does take a village to create a healthy indoor space, whether it be in your home or in your school or in your building, whatever, or your office building. However, we didn't have a list of every person that works in a school, you know, across the whole country. And so we needed to go through intermediate audiences to reach these people. And after doing a little digging, we realized the best way to do that is probably through professional organizations. And I know a lot of us deal with professional organizations to get to our target audiences. And in this case, we were dealing with professional organizations that are probably not quite used to getting this kind of information. So we were dealing with the National Education Association, the Council of Educational Facility Planners International, the American Association of School Administrators, the Association of School Business Officials. So some audiences that may not be used to getting this kind of health message. And so when we first approached these audiences saying, you know, it's really important to have a school that's a healthy space, they're like, yeah, you know, we understand, but, you know, we don't exactly know what you want us to do. And so we were like, okay, well, we really need to stop thinking about these as people who, like, if we just give them the information, of course they're just going to pass it on. You know, that's what they're going to do. We really needed to figure out how to get these people to buy into what we were telling them so that then they would want to not only send out the information in an email but promote it within their organization so they take it on as a cause. So we did some formative research, not only with our target audience but also with this intermediate audience. And what we did in-depth interviews, focus groups, a few listening sessions, and then some intercept interviews. And we did some of it on the phone with some contacts that we already had. And then the rest we did at conferences where these people already were. So we went to their conferences so that we could talk to them in a space. You know, we didn't want to make it onerous on them to give us that information. So we went to them. So what we found with both audiences, our intermediate and our target audiences, is that they had a lack of understanding about the negative effects of poor indoor air quality in schools. They had a lack of motivation to take on a new initiative. How much are teachers supposed to do already? You know, this is a lot. And then lastly, they needed to feel empowered to be able to do something. It seems like a really big issue. Like, what? I'm a teacher. How can I change the indoor air quality in my school? What do you want me to do about that? And then the second thing that we found was for professional organizations in particular, they needed to understand the role that their members had in creating that healthy indoor environment. So we created tailored messages for each of those target audiences. Each of the organizations that we went to, we created a target message. For the Council of Educational Facility Planners International, CEFPI, we said, it's your frontline, these people that are in your organization, they're the frontline personnel for a sustainable IAQ management plan. They're the ones who are dealing with the facilities, for keeping up the HVAC systems, for preparing the schools for summer vacation, for opening them back up again after summer vacation is over. They're responsible for providing a safe learning environment. And your members above other members are in an ideal position to affect IAQ because they know the insides and outsides of the school buildings like no one else does in your school. So they're the ones that know where potential IAQ problems might lurk. So those were the messages for CEFPI. And then for AASA, the American Association of School Administrators, it's all about leadership. So the most effective school IAQ management programs are championed by school officials who want to make it their responsibility to have leadership and advocate on the behalf of their students and their staff. And these dedicated school or school district officials are passionate about keeping students healthy, encouraging top performance, and taking on a leadership role. So that was really what the people in this target audience were. They needed to feel like they were leaders, and that, you know, they're people that because they were in leadership positions, they were going to be able to help. And then at the same time, we were creating our target messages for our ultimate target audience, the school community. So these you can see are a lot more kind of evidence-based, linked to the science more so than some of the other messages. IAQ affects the health and productivity achievement of students and staff. Children are more vulnerable to environmental hazards than adults because of the way that their bodies are developing, and that a lot of them spend more time on the floor than adults who might be sitting in a chair, and there are more indoor air quality issues lurking on the floor than other places. And then the price of repairs and renovations might be high, but the price of preventative practices is not. I know that we use that kind of message in a lot of things that we do across public health, but in a school environment, being able to take care of the building is going to save the school district a lot of money in the end. And then, good IAQ practices can help save schools money. And schools really liked that message. They liked knowing, oh, if I take care of this, then, you know, I'm going to be able to save money for my district in the end. So some short-term outcomes, we find that we do webinars on a monthly basis at least and train people from the school community on how to take action and create these healthy school environments. And we find that about 40% of our attendees at each training are new contacts. So it means that our messages are getting to that intermediate audience and then getting dispersed. So we have been able to successfully get that intermediate audience engaged to disseminate the message in a way that is not only educating their audiences, but in empowering them to get involved. So they're coming to our trainings to get trained on how to make their school environment safer. And then lastly, in terms of long-term outcomes, this program has been around for almost 20 years now, and the indication is that 51% of schools across the country now have IAQ management plans. And we've gotten this data from some other large data sets, surveys that are done on every couple years or so, and that 85% of those people who have implemented IAQ management programs use the tools for schools guidance that we put together. So we're pretty happy with those outcomes, but we're going to keep forging along because for us, you know, we want 100% of schools to have IAQ management plans. So then the next program I want to talk about quickly is the Indoor Air Plus program. And Indoor Air Plus is a healthy home labeling program. It's a sister program to the Energy Star program, which some of you may have heard about. And Energy Star is focused on creating energy-efficient homes, new home construction, and retrofits. And then this is a program that is designed to make sure that those new energy-efficient homes are healthy, and the reason is because as you tighten a home's envelope and seal up all the leaks and everything, you often can decrease the indoor air quality within a space. So something that, as a nation, we've kind of gotten on board with the energy efficiency thing, and so now the indoor air quality issue needs to kind of follow suit. And specifically what it is, it's 30 construction features. It's a construction specifications program. So similar to the schools program, what we did is we needed to identify our target audiences. So our target audience in this case is consumers, people who are buying homes. So that's pretty big, not very segmented audience. And then our intermediate audience is the building industry. It's professionals, home builders, raters and providers, the people who are actually rating these homes to ensure that they have followed a construction specification and can earn a home label. That's what they do. HVAC contractors, real estate agents, architects, these are just some of the few people that we might deal with. So we know that in the end, these people in the building industry, they want to increase their bottom line, right? That we talked to them. We did a similar kind of thing with formative research as we did for schools. We did in-depth interviews. We did intercept interviews. We went to conferences where they were, and then we had these longer term, like an hour in-depth interviews with about 10 to 15 of our key partners. And we found that in the end, the building industry was like, this sounds like a great program, but if it's not going to help my bottom line, I'm not going to do it. And so we're like, okay, that's disappointing. But what is going to make you do it? And so they're like, well, if consumers want it, then we're willing to put it in. We want to sell homes. And so if they are saying we want to do that, then we'll do it. But in the end, a lot of what we heard was, we don't really understand why we need to do this. Even though we're home building professionals, we understand, the energy efficiency thing, we don't understand why indoor air quality is a big deal. So at the same time, we did a literature review. We had some focus group research, and we did a few more in-depth interviews, and we found out about consumers. And this I thought was really interesting. So when we asked consumers, what's a healthy home to you? What does that mean? They said, oh, well, a healthy home is, where we're taking care of ourselves, we're fit, we're paying attention, obesity is an issue in this country, we have hand sanitizer in the home, everyone's, washing their hands, this is a healthy home, making sure that they're staying up on their well visits, immunizations, and that they're paying attention to safety issues and recalls. So their idea of a healthy home was much different than our idea of a healthy home, which was obviously all about indoor air quality. But they did indicate that they were willing to adapt new healthy behaviors if they thought there was a perceived high risk for themselves or their children, or in order to just create a healthier space for their children. So that's really what we tried to zero in on. So after hearing, getting all this research back, what we came up with was that for the building industry, they needed to feel like this program was going to set themselves apart and help them increase their bottom line. So instead of talking about how good indoor air quality is and why it's important, why they should do it, instead what we were saying is this is a gold standard program. There aren't any other home construction programs out there like this. If you do this, you're going to earn a nationally recognized label. You're going to differentiate yourself from your competition. You're going to be up to date with the most up-to-date, best practices in construction. You're going to have fewer callbacks and liability because the home is going to be better constructed. And it's a quality assurance that you're providing to your consumer because you're having a third party verify it. And they were like, oh, that sounds great. And then we also said, that what customers really want is moisture control, safety, good indoor air quality, and energy efficiency. All those things exist in the indoor air program. So they want Indoor Air Plus, they just don't know it. Now you can give it to them. So for our consumers, again, we know that they were really interested in hand sanitizer and that kind of thing. And so instead of saying, hey, with this, we're going to put another layer of poly on your house so that there's not going to be any water leaking in, so you're not going to, that they were like, I don't even understand what you're talking about. So instead, what we knew, we needed to kind of play into the things that they already are experiencing or maybe having issues with in their own home so that they're going to say, oh, that is an issue in my own home. And if I get this Indoor Air Plus home, then it's going to be different. They're going to have fewer pollutants, reduced segregation to the house. paint jobs with less peeling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sick less often, less need to dust and vacuum. That was a big one. That was really popular. And a house that's more that looks better is more durable, so it's going to have a better resale value. And then so our last our results are we have over 1,000 indoor plus homes built so far in 36 states and 800 indoor air plus partners in over 40 states. And we're currently talking with some of the top 10 builders to get them on board with the program. So that's it. Thank you.